from KQED.
Good morning. From KQED Radio News, this is Quest, a weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. I'm Andrea Kissick. We've all heard the latest health advice: avoid trans fats, eat more fruits and vegetables. You may notice those changes on grocery store shelves, but for many school children, their cafeteria lunch menus haven't caught up. This year, an effort to get healthy foods to the school lunch table is tied up in a much larger debate: national farm policy. Lauren Summer reports.
And you have
It's lunchtime at Berkeley's Malcolm X Elementary School, and students are streaming into the cafeteria.
Is it spicy? I don't think it's very spicy.
On today's menu, nachos. But these aren't your typical convenience store nachos.
We have cooked our own beef, cooked our own rice, cooked our own beans, and we're putting them in a plate with some cheese and giving the kids a whole grain chip to dip into it.
Ann Cooper is the Director of Nutrition Services for the Berkeley Unified School District. Over the past 2 years, she's transformed Berkeley's school lunch menu.
Our program is almost all fresh. It's about 95% from scratch food, 25% organic and local. We serve fresh fruits and vegetables at every meal.
Cooper says those ingredients are a far cry from what you'll find in many school cafeterias.
Chicken nuggets, tater tots, chocolate milk with high fructose corn syrup, canned fruit cocktail with high fructose corn syrup.
The Berkeley School District has banned those processed foods from its lunch menus and created school gardens and cooking classes. But it hasn't been easy.
Shortly after I got here, it was time to have a USDA inspection, and the USDA inspectors came and they looked at our stuff and they really didn't know how to handle a district that had no processed food, because the processed food, it's easy.
Berkeley's lunch revolution has come about thanks to outside support, but most school districts aren't so lucky. Many don't have kitchens or staff members to prepare fresh foods. So cash-strapped schools have opted for highly processed food that's cheaper and easier to prepare. Cooper says that's a problem created by the federal farm bill.
It should be called the food bill, or the food and farm bill.
The farm bill is a major piece of legislation that Congress approves every 5 years to provide money to agricultural programs. The version now under debate proposes spending over $280 billion, a third of which goes to crop subsidies. Historically, it's been the focus of large farm groups. But the nation's growing obesity crisis has prompted a coalition of health and environmental advocates to lobby for healthier foods.
We're seeing kids who are coming in morbidly obese much earlier than we did before, and much more record numbers. And that's a real problem.
One way to reverse this growing crisis, says Dr. Georges Benjamin of the American Public Health Association, is to change how people eat. And he says one of the biggest vehicles for promoting fruits and vegetables should be the farm bill.
We have dietary guidelines that help us determine what we should have on our plates. But our farm policy doesn't necessarily follow all of those guidelines, and we're looking for opportunities to improve on that.
It's the biggest political pork bill that's out there.
Bill Walker is the West Coast head of the nonprofit Environmental Working Group.
Billions of dollars in crop subsidies go every year, mostly just to growers of a few select commodity crops: corn, soybeans, rice, wheat, cotton.
Critics argue that this legacy of subsidies has led to an overproduction of high fructose corn syrup and other ingredients found in processed foods. This, in turn, has made them cheaper. As for the remaining crops, like most fruits and vegetables, they've historically received almost no subsidies, thanks to political deals dating back to the 1930s.
The government's food pyramid tells us to eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and yet we don't fund the production of fruits and vegetables.
And even though half of the country's fruits and vegetables are grown in California, 90% of the state's farmers get no support from the farm bill.
Most of the benefits flow to the Midwest and the South. In fact, 50% of all farm bill payments go to about 20 congressional districts. So it's really an inequitable distribution of benefits.
Kari Hammerschlag of the nonprofit California Coalition for Food and Farming wants to see some of that money redirected from commodity crops to fresh fruit and vegetable programs. One such program would provide grants to help local farmers distribute their produce to universities and schools.
All of these programs are really about investing in a healthy food system that delivers healthier food to urban areas, and while also providing important new markets for many of the small family farms and mid-sized farms that are on our urban edges.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed its version of the Farm Bill earlier this summer, but provided little extra support for many of these smaller fresh food programs. Advocates are now resting their hopes on the Senate, which will take up the bill in the weeks ahead. For Quest, I'm Lauren Summer, KQED Radio News.
What do you think should be in a school lunch? Tell us your thoughts on the Quest Science blog at kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Capsanel Foundation.